Welcome to Whitefields Church Podcast. Our focus is to help you grow relationally, emotionally, and spiritually. I hope you enjoy the message. Discernment is so vital at this phase. I don't think it's anything new. I think it's been required all along. But we live in a day and an age where the social construct of what can invade our thinking is so magnified that if we're not careful, we can be set off course so quickly, so easily. We'll see something that similar to that here in the scripture this morning. But before I get going, I don't know about you, but it's a little cool in here today. So let's stand or do something, take a deep breath. Get some blood going, you know. Have Nancy turn hers off. Okay. No. Our furnace gave up the ghost. I know you all thought Pastor Vic was trying to save money. I know that also there's a few in here who just are warm-blooded, probably think this is a great temperature. Yeah. Personally, I prefer it a little warmer. In fact, I was going to make a suggestion. I don't know if it's just me, but somehow I think in winter, we should do away with the background pictures that are on our worship that have snow scenes. Amen. They should be beaches and sunshine and palm trees, you know, and a lot of them I think were designed for people that live in Southern California. You know, they created the backgrounds for a lot of the worship, you know. And they're like, oh, we could use some snow and cooler weather. Well, let's send it to L.A. I grew up down there. It snowed once. Once. All right. Well, I think it's so vital that what Nancy was sharing this morning for us as believers to have discernment. And it's a simple act of asking God, give me discernment, Lord. Help me to understand. Help me to have insight. And then also surround yourself with people who have discernment so that when you lack, it says when you lack wisdom, wisdom and discernment go together. When you lack wisdom, ask the Lord and he'll give it to you liberally, and then ask somebody that you trust in the Lord, and they will give it to you liberally, usually. My wife does. Well, this is Passion Week. Did everybody get warm? I didn't see enough activity. I was thinking of calling the worship team up and doing that first song we sang this morning all over again. We had some circulation going then. When we were down in Argentina many years ago, there was a testimony about the Brazilians, in particular, lose weight just by going to church. And we didn't understand that till we worshiped with them. I mean, they get it on. They're like, they actually start like, what do they call those? Samba lines or whatever that is. And they just march around and they're just worshiping God for hours. Another thing we learned down there was when they say a meeting starts at noon, no, it doesn't. It could be 1, 2, 2:30. And we finally asked this pastor, you know, you called for this meeting to start at noon, and here it is 1:30. And he says, oh, yeah, but the devil also got the announcement that we started at noon. And he's given up and left, so now we start. The interesting thing, and I'll make a quick little side thought of that, is there was all these people gathered around on the outskirts of this meeting that they were having that had had the church rented for a wedding. But the church service started so late and kept going, and they got very upset. And one of the ladies that was very upset about it, I think the mother of the bride or something, actually came up and started challenging my wife. And she didn't know Spanish, and so she didn't know what was going on. And I think she was about to deck her, not Nancy. The lady was about to deck Nancy. And somebody in the crowd tackled this lady. But it was an exciting meeting. Now, years ago, we had a little lady in the church here, just a tiny little thing. And during the service, out of nowhere, she would just jump up and yell, "Fire!" and then run around the church. And I was thinking, we could use a little of that this morning. All right. Well, the title of my message this morning is When the Rocks Shout. There was a time where Jesus made a statement, and as he was entering Jerusalem, we're going to talk about Passion Week. This was a very busy week in the history of mankind, and we're going to look at a few highlights of this leading up to Resurrection Sunday, which our pastor, Pastor Vic, is going to speak next week on. But when the rocks shout. What an epic thought. Now, Jesus is entering Jerusalem. Get the picture. Jesus is entering Jerusalem, and the people are laying down palm branches and cheering and shouting and saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." And they're ushering Jesus in to Jerusalem. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Tell your people to stop shouting. Tell your people to stop." And Jesus makes a statement. He says, if they had not been praising, the rocks would have cried out. Now, Jesus doesn't shovel smoke, folks. I don't know if you know the term shoveling smoke, but it's a term that came from, I think, Texas, of what Texas lawyers do when they're in court and they have nothing better to say. They just start shoveling smoke to create a fog and confusion for the jury. Jesus did not do that. He was not shoveling smoke. He was saying a statement, if these people had not cried out, the rocks would have. And I believe with all my heart, the rocks would have cried forth. Because the Bible says the whole earth groans and travails for the manifestation of the sons of God. The earth is groaning and travailing to this day. It's shouting out. We may not be able to hear it with our senses, but the Creator hears it and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, this statement, if my people were silent, the stones would have shouted, found in Luke chapter 19, verse 40. It's a truth about Jesus. It's a statement of the truth about Jesus that it's so powerful and compelling, this truth. It could not be silenced or suppressed. You see, where Jesus was headed in his entry into Jerusalem, this truth that the Son of God was going to complete what he had come to do. Now, in him completing what he came to do, he's now passed that on to you and I for us to continue. But that this truth is so compelling that you could not hold it back. The earth could not hold it back. The earth would have shouted forth. So we see on this first day, Sunday, Jesus entering in. It's called Palm Sunday. That's today that we commemorate it. Jesus is entering Jerusalem. And I want to take us through a time sequence of that week. On Monday, Jesus does something different. He goes into the temple. He turns over all the money changers' tables and throws them out of the temple and says, "The Lord's house shall be a house of prayer, not a house of commerce, not a house of business." Now, this is an argument that I've made myself in the past of the church can become too businesslike. It can become too businesslike. It loses its sense of its purpose. The sense of its purpose is to carry on, as Nancy was saying earlier, as ambassadors, representatives of this kingdom, representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, and relationship with him and relationship with one another and relationship with our neighbors and our community and this world. But these same people that were shouting, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord," they were moved. There was something happening. Just think of the atmosphere just being so electric. You're compelled by those that are already doing that. You get caught up in it. You're like, yeah, this is really happening. Yeah, hey, this is a great guy. Some of them hadn't even heard of Jesus. They're just swept into it. Within a week's time, many of those same people were saying something opposite because of the narrative proclaimed to them at that time, and they're saying the same person that they were saying, "Blessed that he that comes in the name of the Lord," they're now saying, "Crucify him." There's a statement about becoming a itinerant minister, an itinerant pastor, and I have always thought that would be a fun job after pastoring for many years in the same location, to go into a place where you fill in while they're looking for a full-time pastor. And you're just there for a short time. And the statement goes like this. When you first get there, the congregation is so excited. They're like, "Oh, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." But you're not there very long, and they begin to say, "By what authority do you speak?" And then you want to get out of there before they start yelling, "Crucify him." Now that requires discernment. So they're yelling, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." And the very next thing on Monday, Jesus is teaching. He's overturning the temple. He's shaking things up. He's teaching the people. And the immediate thing, the Pharisees begin to say to him and question him and say, "By what authority are you speaking?" And Jesus is very clear. He says, "If you tell me this, then I will tell you by what authority I speak." And they could not answer him because they were afraid of what? The people. The people were still persuaded, but people are very fickle. People can be, our persuasions can go this way and that. Something else unique happened on Monday as Jesus was entering Jerusalem. He saw a fig tree. It was not the time of fruit. It was not the time that the fig tree should be producing fruit. But he went up to the fig tree and said, "You have no fruit." He cursed the fig tree and he says, "No longer shall anyone eat fruit from you again." Now, an interesting thing on Tuesday, I think it was the very next day as they came back through, Peter saw it and he says, "Lord, look at the fig tree. It actually shriveled and died from the roots up." Two things happen in that scene. One is Jesus is saying to the fig tree, "There's no fruit here. You will not eat fruit from this ever again." He's also speaking to the Pharisees, saying, "Your way, your system, the religious order will never produce fruit again in a person's life. There's a new testament taking place. There's a new kingdom that's being established, and that's where the fruit will be. The fruit will be not in your rituals and your traditions and your old ways of trying to please God. The new fruit is God in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you brings about life, brings about fruit. Fruit from within." All right, you following me? So it was a pretty busy week. In Luke chapter 19, verses 45 to 48, and I really encourage you to take and just this week, set it aside and just go through each day in your reading, in your time with your family or yourselves, your children, and read about each day of Passion Week. So Jesus cleanses the temple. Jesus is teaching on parables and curses the fig tree. And later, Peter observes the fig tree already dead from the roots up. Now, I mentioned about the old representation, but then in Peter recognizing the fig tree dying so quickly, I mean, that really stood out to him. It's like, Jesus, they haven't quite got a full grasp on things yet. And he's, wow, what Jesus spoke yesterday is fulfilled today. So Jesus used that as an opportunity to say, if you have faith, even the smallest amount of faith, you can say to this mountain, "Be thou removed," and it'll be removed. So we see also Jesus is also teaching, not only is the old way being done away with, but the new way of Christ in you is done through faith. We now have fruit through faith. And faith operates through believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth, and then acting upon that confession. That is faith. Believe in your heart, confess it with your mouth, and then start acting upon that. Speak it over yourself. Speak it over your brothers and sisters, over your spouse, over your children, over the young people in this church. I caught this little young guy acting up when he was just little and his dad and their church were using our building. He was probably running around acting up. Probably I didn't like what he was doing. I can't remember exactly, but I decided to stop him. And instead of saying, "Hey, knock that off, you little knothead," because I don't like to talk that way, I said, "Hey, you little mighty man of God." All of a sudden, he's like, "I'm a mighty man of God?" My wife went away to a conference one time, and she came back from that conference, and she says, "I received something from the Lord there." and I want to do something there. Ladies, hang on to your seats here. And she got down on her knees and she looked up at me and she said, "You are my king. You are my king." And I was like, "Yeah. Yeah. All right. Go get me some coffee." No, you know what it did to me? It humbled me. And it gave me a picture of like, oh, I need to act differently. I need to conduct my life differently. And you know what it was doing for her without her actually ever saying it? If she's saying to me, "You're my king," she is saying to me without even having to say it, "I'm your queen, baby. Don't ever forget it." It works in reverse. You can say, "I'm your king," to her, but that means she's your queen to you. So I got that in reverse. You can say to your spouse, "You're my queen," which is making you the king. And you can do that without admonishment, without harshness, and without, "Oh, I'd like to correct some areas of that person's life." How many times have you thought of, you've seen something in your spouse or in your brother or your sister, and you're like, "Man, it'd be really, that bugs me to no end. They really need to change. They really need to stop the way they're acting and be different." Well, believe in your heart that they are a new creation created in God's image. Confess it with your mouth. "Larissa, you are such a blessing. You're so wonderful. Jesus loves you so much, and so do we." And then act on it. Buy her something she likes, chocolates or espressos. All right, well, I got way off track here. In Luke chapter 19, we see that Jesus cleanses the temple. He makes a statement, God's house shall be a house of prayer. And he purifies it and sanctifies it. And then the fig tree happens, and Peter, where am I? Wednesday, here we are, Wednesday. Judas agrees to betray Jesus. What entered Judas's mind, who has been walking with Jesus all this time, to suddenly say, "You know what, $30 sound pretty good. I could use that right now. I have a real need. You know, I could use those new Nike Airs." Usually when lust takes over in that area, as far as giving yourself over to finances, it really isn't about a need. It's about a lust of something that you really got to have. Yeah, I'll just leave that there and let you think about it. Then on Thursday, which was a very eventful day, Luke chapter 22, verses 7 through 39, we see that it's the Last Supper. And Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. And I want to read something out of that. You can find the four Gospels, all four Gospels detail the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Let me get there. We don't have it on the overhead right now, so you'll have to bear with me. I'm just going to pause right there for a second and say, isn't it great when something that you've come so dependent upon isn't there? Like heat? Or overheads, or a sound system. It could almost take you back to being like at the time when Jesus was here. You couldn't depend on any of those things. You had the elements of the atmosphere, whatever they might be. You didn't have heat and air conditioning. You didn't have Matt playing the electric guitar, which I don't know why Jesus didn't just make that happen back then, but they couldn't have handled it. But when it all goes south, you know, it just isn't happening. Something inside of me kind of likes that. It kind of goes, huh, I have become so dependent on things that could change overnight. Okay, Luke 22. I'm almost done here because we got to go catch a plane. Unfortunately, I grabbed my Bible that's not in red. Well, I'm just going to paraphrase it in Mark language. Something very unique happened in the washing of the disciples' feet where Jesus is saying, you know, I no longer call you servants, but friends. He also conveys the love of God, where it's saying, the love of God is now given to you that you should love one another as I have loved you. That's not an easy task. That's something that you give yourself over to. That's a choice you make. You make a choice. I'm going to love God's people. I'm going to love the church. So many people quit attending church. Yo, I got offended, or they were mean to me, or somebody said something I didn't like, or this thing happened, that thing happened, and they kind of use that as an excuse to back away from loving. It's just a simple choice to make if you've done that, or if you know someone that's done that. You just choose to no longer back away, and to say, I choose to love. I choose to love God's people. I choose to love my wife. I was mad at her yesterday, but today I love her because I choose to. It's a choice. She was mad at me yesterday. I'm just saying, it didn't really happen. We've never had a disagreement in 50 years. Let me clarify that. We've never had a disagreement that I won. But if we do that same act towards the church and towards God's bride, we're the bride of Christ. If somebody came up to you and said, your wife's kind of offensive and maybe a little ugly. Don't you think you deserve somebody better? You'd probably punch him. I remember Nancy and I went to Fairbanks. We went up there to live for several months. We expanded a business that we had at the time up there. And a fellow from the valley here drove all the way to Fairbanks just to talk to me. He said, I'm having a hard time. I want to get married to this woman, but the leader of the church that he was attending, which was one of our outreach, was us. He was talking to us, and he said to my fiance, he said, you know, you can do better than him. He says, I'm really offended. And I said, well, you shouldn't be. You should have just hit him. You should have just punched him. He won't say it again. Sometimes my counsel probably is not the best. But it's true. If we do that to the body of Christ, don't you think Jesus is kind of looking at you and saying, hey, that's my bride you're talking about. It's my wife-to-be. And she is being prepared right now to be a spotless bride for my return. Don't do it. Don't criticize the body of Christ. Don't criticize the bride of Christ. Don't criticize God's fiance. It's not a good thing. I think one of the significant things, well, all of them are significant, but I can't get past the washing of the disciples' feet. Now we're coming to Friday. These same people that Jesus taught, gave himself to, gave his heart to, spoke to, delivered truth to, that were praising him. You know, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Many of those same people, because of the social construct of the day, because of the emphasis of the message being put out there, are now calling for his death. So easily turned, so easily swayed, so easily moved from, wow. And what caused him to be that way? I think in many cases it's like, well, wait, he came into Jerusalem. I thought it was going to be different. I thought he was going to set up a different form of kingdom. I'm offended. I'm let down. I'm disappointed. It's not the way I thought it was supposed to be. How many of you started this walk and journey with Christ and found things in it caused it to not be the way you thought it was going to go? But for those of you that are here, for your benefit, even though it hasn't been the way you thought it was going to go, you're still here. On Friday, crucifixion. On Saturday, a great day of mourning and silence. What do we do? What do we do? Jesus is behind this huge stone. Remember how this started out? If the people hadn't appraised him, the stones would have cried out. Something very powerful happens to this stone also. And I would really encourage you, if you want to hear the end of this, stay tuned and come next week. Yeah. And hear how it ends. All right, let's all stand. Father, I pray that throughout this Passion Week, we would just set this time aside to think about that week, to think about the things that you taught, the things that you did. We'd spend time in reading and studying those things and meditating upon them. That it would prepare us, Father, for the days ahead, for the plan that you have for us, for the purpose you have for us, for the direction you have for each of our lives. Thank you, Lord. I ask you to bless each one of us as we go this week and prepare us for next week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As you go, think about our worship team that's going to DC. Be in prayer for them. If the basket got past you before you had a chance to give to that, pray and ask God how you might sow into that. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. Please make sure to subscribe to our podcast. If you'd like more information about our church, please visit our website, whitefieldsalaska.com. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you today.